first point in our lesson is Christ's title, the headstone of the corner, is twofold. This title demonstrates the fact that he completes God's working in our lives. He completes it. He does it. You know, so it's not a matter. This is not complicated, people, okay? If you line up with the headstone of the corner, Christ does the work, okay? You just have to decide that you're going to line up with the headstone of the corner, and he does all the rest. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And boy, you're just looking at that scripture, there's three pieces to it. I am the way. This is the path that you need to walk. And I am truth. You know, the world will lie to you, but I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the truth. He will see you all the way to the end. See, when you're in truth, you will make it to the end. See, a lie will mess you up. A lie will get you veered off, and you won't make it to your destination. But Jesus Christ said, "I am the truth. And I am the life. I am your eternal life. I am your life here, and I will carry you into eternity." So that's why you want to line up with him. This point is not negotiable. Okay, there's not many ways to heaven. Okay, I know that's being taught, but there isn't many ways. Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life." And the scripture goes on to say, "No one comes to the Father but by me." This is non-negotiable, people. Okay, so don't believe the lie. The lies are out there. Yes. Jesus says they're out there. But you have to make a decision what you're going to believe. We live in a world where this point is argued, but to complete the work of God in your life, you must stand firm in that Christ is the only way. Next point, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's from 1 Corinthians 3. God cannot build his work in human life outside of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. God cannot build his work in a human life outside of Jesus Christ. Okay? You can't build the work of God if you are not lined up with the headstone of the corner. You may be doing a lot of busy work. You may look like you're building a pile of rocks for a while. But I'm telling you, if you're going to build the work of God, you have to build it on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And again, this point is not negotiable. Human goodness can never be the foundation of the work of God in any life. And you hear that all the time, human goodness. You know, I'm glad we have human goodness, but human goodness cannot replace the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. It just can't. It will crumble. It will crumble under the pressure of this world. It will crumble under the attack of the enemy. So that's why we have to be on the foundation that conquered the enemy. For it is weak. Human goodness is weak and soiled with sin and cannot hold up under the attacks of Satan. This is the difference between a good thing and a God thing. The headstone of the corner, which is Jesus Christ. You remember that teaching years ago, the difference between a good thing and a God thing. It seemed like recently somebody was telling me about a book. Was it you, Andrea, that was telling me about the book, A Good Thing Versus a God Thing? You know, there's a lot of good things we can do. In fact, that's where a lot of us get distracted. Okay, are you hearing me? That's where a lot of us get distracted, is with the good things. But is it a God thing? See, that's why I'm telling you guys, you got to be sober today. You got to be listening to what the Lord is telling you to do, because you don't have enough energy in the day to do all the good things and do what God is calling you to do. So you got to do the God thing. If you do the God thing, everything else will be all right. See, because he is the truth. And he is the life. But if you're trying to run around doing all these good things, the enemy keeps you distracted from the God thing. I know it's good. I know it pulls on your heart. But what does God say for you to be about? See, that's what we're talking about, completion here. You know, when you stand before the Lord, he's going to ask you. He's going to judge you on what he called you to do. And not, look at, I did this, and I did this, I did this. What did I tell you to do?
Yeah.
Is that work completed? See, that's going to be your precious jewels and your gold. You don't want the wood, hay, and stubble, the good things. And that's where we get caught up, because we think because it's a good thing, it was okay to do. And how many good things did not last because they were destroyed from within, betrayals, attacks from without, attacks from within, even religious works. I'm telling you, there's a difference between religion and relationship. Jesus came for relationship. Okay, so if you're into religion, you might be doing a lot of good things and not necessarily a God thing. Religion can be built on foundations that are not Christ, but rather good ideas that were brought about by man. And when you do things that are brought about, great ideas that are brought about by man, you risk not completing. You risk that that work will not be complete because it's built on a good idea, and rather than the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. That's why you pray about everything. Before you go into projects, you pray. You pray, and God will show you. You know, he will not let you be deceived. I'm telling you, God, if you ask God, he will show you. He will make it crystal clear. He'll send the message over the radio. He'll send the message over Billy Bob that don't even know Jesus. He'll send the message. This is the way. Walk here. I learned that a while back. God will not let his people be deceived. If you're deceived, it's because you said, no, I'm not going to listen. I'm going to do this anyway. So if you don't, you have to involve prayer. It can't be about good intentions. It can't be about good human strength. You know, years ago, I think I told you the story of my sister, and she doesn't mind me sharing this story about her, because she started this business based on a good idea. You know, she was a believer, you know, but she just jumped into this business because somebody said, oh, you can make money, you know, by doing transportation. You know, people that are on Medicare, you know, they need transportation to and from the doctor. So this friend of her told her about this good idea. They had a business plan and everything. Some of us depend on the business plan. I got a business plan, so I'm going to be successful. Folks, I'm telling you, talk to all these people that have failed in business. And she went on for a while and went on this while, and this business just wouldn't take off. It just wouldn't take off. In fact, she was working another job and using the pay from her job to pay the employees on this business she was starting. And I mean, this went on and on and on and on. And finally, she said, finally, it dawned on me, or the Holy Spirit spoke to me, I never told you to do this. Can you imagine, after spending tens of thousands of dollars, the Holy Spirit just silently whispers, I never told you to do this. That's why it's not working. And sometimes, folks, that's where we are. And be humble enough to go and say, okay, you know what? No, I never did pray about this. I was listening to my friend who said it was a good idea, that had a business plan, that somebody else over here had made all this money on this, and she closed down that business. She lost her car behind it. I mean, she even lost her car. And she closed down that business, and she had, the business was called Golden Dove. And I remember her visiting me, and she gave me this shirt, one of the driver's shirts that had they had all these vans. And the driver's shirt said Golden Dove. And she said, I'm giving you this shirt so that you will know and be reminded that you don't settle for Ishmael. You go with Isaac every time. I was like, oh my goodness. She said, this is my Ishmael.
Yes.
When God had Isaac for me. Yes. Folks, you don't want to settle for Ishmael when God has Isaac. See, Ishmael was a good idea. Sounded good. You know, Sarah's like, well, you know, it's not happening with me, Abraham, so, you know, go with my handmaiden, you know, when God had already said what was supposed to be done. Mm-hmm. See, God always speaks first, and then the enemy comes in.
Yes, yes.
That is true. God speaks first, and then comes the enemy. Well, why don't you try? Because, see, you've been trying for a year, Sarah, and you still haven't conceived, so let's get the handmaid. So we step out and we do our thing. And this thing wreaks havoc in our lives for years, sometimes a lifetime. This thing wreaks havoc. In fact, Isaac and Ishmael are still fighting to this day. Do you not know it's true? It's true. They're still fighting to this day because somebody chose. We got to line up with God if we're going to complete this thing. If we got to know this name, the headstone of the corner, we line up with it. We line up with it. No matter what comes our way, we line up with it. Point two, this title signifies the way he surprises us with his methods. Our human reasoning too often would preempt or seize or take over the possibilities God has in mind for us. And that's from our book. And the scripture says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man, I want you to get that, each man, you're responsible for your stuff. Each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And that's 1 Corinthians 3. You can't lay a foundation like Jesus, okay? I don't care how great your business plan is. You cannot lay a foundation, which is the foundation which was laid, which was Jesus Christ. You alone are responsible for what is built on the foundation Christ has laid for you. Great care must be taken here, for you only will answer for what is built here. Christ has got, what have you built here? I laid the foundation. I did everything that needed to be done for you to be successful in building on this foundation. So where is it? That's the question. On that great day, there will be no blaming of others for what you have built. There's no blaming of others. Well, they got in my way and they call me names and, you know, and they treated me bad. And Jesus died, folks, and rose with all power in his hand. We have no excuse. You get that? As I said, I used my son Matt for excuse for a while. Poor Matt has autism, Jesus, and I just can't, you know. He wasn't having it. What have I called you to do? I'll take care of that situation. You do what I called you to do. And I'll tell you, when you do what Christ tells you to do, everyone around you that you love so much will be taken care of so much better and loved so much better. You will even be able to love them better because you're walking in what Christ told you to walk in. Sometimes we're in our human reasoning, we're trying to do all this stuff for people and we're running here and running there and we're dragging ourselves down and we're, you know, killing ourselves trying to do all this stuff for people. And after a while we're sick, we're irritated, we're depressed. Why? Because we won't do it Jesus' way. Had we done it his way, we would have had joy in doing the work he calls to do and loving our families. We would have joy in loving them. And we would see them grow. Sometimes they can't grow because you won't get out of the way and let them grow. You're trying to do everything for them. There's so much to this. There's so much to this. You keep other people from building on the foundation because you won't build on your foundation. You're too busy trying to get their foundation. No, get on your own foundation. And start building. And watch Jesus raise people up. Get them stronger and better, more capable, because he is God for everybody. He is Christ for everybody. Our heartstrings, you know, I really want to hit on this human stuff that we get into, being emotional in our decisions. And that's why the Lord taught us whoever loves, and some people don't like this scripture, but it's in the word anyways. Whoever loves mother, father, sister, brother, husband, wife, son, or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And we that's so hard. But that's my child, Lord. But don't you know Jesus loves them more? Jesus loves them more. He says that, but if you're going to put them ahead of me, this isn't going to work. Because they're Lord. Because I'm not Lord. They are Lord. You know, and people don't like to hear that. But you know, hey boy, got to quote my friend John Revere again. Read the Bible for what it says and not for what you believe. Yes. Read the Bible for what it says and not for what you want. It says whoever loves any of these folks more than me, then you're not worthy of me. Meaning, I'm not going to even bother with this until you get to a place where you put me first. That's what he said. You're not worthy. You're not worthy to even have me in your life. You, because you haven't come to a place of making me Lord. Lord means Lord. And he takes care of all these other folks. I'm telling you, he loves them more than you do. I know you can't imagine that. I can't imagine somebody loving my kids more than I, but Jesus does. Not only he loves them more, he knows them better. He knows what they need more than you do. So if you would just get out of the way, wow, imagine what he could do. If you focus on building on your foundation and letting him whisper in your ear when it's time to back off on people, when it's time to let them go and let God intervene at this point. I've told you to come all the way up to here. Now you stop and let me intervene. Somebody was asking that question. I think Joanne was asking the question about, does God ever say, pray no more? Yes, he does. In fact, I was telling you about Samuel and Saul, the prophet Samuel. But it also happened with the prophet Jeremiah. Just ran into that this week. And I know, you know, it happened with the prophet Jeremiah. God told Jeremiah, don't you pray anymore, because I have already made a decision. You give them the word that Israel will be taken into captivity. Tell the king that Israel will be taken into captivity, and tell them don't even fight Babylon, the Babylonian army, when they come. Don't fight them, because you're going to have needless bloodshed if you fight. But they wouldn't listen. Needless bloodshed, and they were still taken into captivity. Because there comes a point where God says, move out of the way. I got to deal with this. And we need to be obedient to that. Jeremiah was obedient. They hated him. They put him in prison. They did all kinds of things to him. And he just wept and wept and wept and wept over his beloved Israel. But there comes a time where God says, move out of the way. That this is going to happen. Verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 3 makes it clear that the foundation, which is Christ, is a supreme foundation for a life. There is no foundation greater or better. This foundation will not fail if adhered to. All the failures in our building will lie with us. Again, it's going to be with you. You must prepare your heart and mind to defeat the distractions that will come. You defeat distractions by always hearing the voice of Christ, the headstone of the corner above all others. Just know right now, okay? Just know, okay? Memo. Distractions are going to come, okay? They're coming. They're coming tomorrow, okay? You're going to have distractions are coming tomorrow. But you have to make up in your mind that I'm going to hear the one voice. The enemy's coming to push your buttons tomorrow, to get you off track tomorrow, even this afternoon, I'll tell you. Sometimes before you get home from church, before you even get to the sanctuary from Sunday school. Let me see if she really learned something. Put some buttons on her, see what she... Remember, that's why the scripture says you're hidden in Christ. See, when you're hidden in Christ, this kind of stuff happens. Where is she? Mm-hmm. You know, where is she? Because he's waiting for you to say, ow. So the scriptures continue to warn us. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will be clearly shown for what it is. For the day of judgment will disclose it because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality and the character and worth of each person's work. Okay, it's just there, guys. It's just, that's what the Word of God says. You know? I mean, I'm telling you, you got to work out your own soul salvation with fear and with trembling. This is a serious matter. And I think it's interesting the way he's saying, yeah, you'll have some gold and silver and precious stones, but there are also going to be some wood, hay, and stubble. Some stuff you were doing just, you know, it appeared like you were doing God's work, but... God help you if nobody recognized you for it. You know? Well, I did that and they didn't even call my name. Why did you do it? You said you did it, it was under the Lord. But what if you weren't recognized? See, he says he's going to show the quality and the character of your work. What was this about? What was all this about? So you could be recognized? I gave that big offering and no one even said anything about it. Why did you? What was this all about, folks? So again, and we're human. I don't think anybody in here can say they don't feel, well, when they call everybody else's name and forget your name. Oh, come on now. I'm not on Mars here. We're on planet Earth. I know how you humans are. So again, you know, you get those checks in your spirit and like, Lord, you know, and if you feel it, deal with it. Just like, Lord, I lay this at your feet. You know, Lord, I'm feeling something here. I lay it at your feet. Lord, they didn't recognize me and I'm feeling something. Lord, I lay this at your feet, Lord. In the future, Lord, I pray that everything I do will be as unto you. And if they never call my name, well, that's fine. Lord, I know you got it on my account in heaven. In fact, I'd rather get the glory up there than down here any day. Any day. I'm telling you, because people will glorify you today and they will hate you tomorrow. So I'd rather have my account up there. I don't want anybody to know what I'm doing. So as we go on, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, if any person's work which he has built on this foundation, that is, any outcome of his effort remains, this is the rest of the story, and survives the test, wow, he will receive a reward. And I know Pastor Steve was preaching on that a few months ago, and when we started the year, talking about the end time, and he said there are different rewards. There are rewards for different types of ministries. So again, but as you're doing this ministry, be sure you're doing it as unto the Lord. That'd be a shame you spent your whole life on that ministry and it just went up in a puff of smoke before the Lord. Wow. Poof. Yeah. But if any person's work is burned up by the test, he will suffer the loss of his reward, yet he himself will be saved, but only as one who has barely escaped through fire. I'm telling you, it's just truth. It's just truth. That's in the Word. That's in the Word. Some of us are just going to get in by the skin of our teeth, man. We're just going to be, thank you, Jesus. Just let me on in. Just get got in there with nothing. But I'm in. The pearly gates hit us while we were coming in. But we got in. Thank you, Jesus. So again, the gravity of these verses must not be taken lightly, but should be used as your plumb line to the headstone in the corner. And that's why, you know, let's look at the handout. We have a handout on the plumb line. And a plumb line, it's is something that construction people use. They kind of use a leveler now, but this was something that they use back in the day. And the definition, I just wanted to define it, a plumb line, a line with a plumb attached to it, used for finding the depth of water or determining the vertical on an upright surface to see if it's straight. And they would hold that line up next to it to see if it's straight. And because gravity is going to pull it down perfectly straight. But if that building is not lining up, then you're going to see this kind of thing. The plumb line's here, the wall, the building is here. That's what you don't see. That's the way some of us are building. Jesus Christ is the plumb line, and our building is sitting like this. So we have to be very careful that we're lining up with the Word of God. And here's a scripture from Amos. They actually use the term plumb line in the Word of God. Amos 7 says, 7 through 9, it says, "Then he showed me another vision. I saw the Lord standing beside a wall that had been built using a plumb line. He was using a plumb line to see if it was still straight. And the Lord said to me, 'Amos, what do you see?' I answered, 'A plumb line.' And the Lord replied, 'I will test my people with this plumb line. I will no longer ignore all their sins. The pagan shrines of your ancestors will be ruined, and the temples of Israel will be destroyed. I will bring the dynasty of King Jeroboam to a sudden end.'" Hallelujah. I tell you, you know, I couldn't help but think about our nation. I couldn't help but think about it. You know, how we probably, you know, we started out, you know, not that we didn't have our issues at the beginning, but maybe we started out, and now we're... And I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you, if it was true for Israel, it's going to be true for us, too. He said, I won't ignore it. I won't ignore it anymore. But you got to line up with that plumb line and making sure that your life is lined up with the Word of God. I love this picture of the plumb line right in the center of the Word of God. And that we're lining up with it. Yes, you know, to see if it was still straight, the scripture says. Because we start out, as I said, we're living stones, you know. Are we still lined up like we're supposed to, or have we shifted? Have we compromised here and there, and all of a sudden we're, before we know it, we're not lined up with the Word of God. And God is so good. You know, God is so good. He forgives us. His word is still available to us, and we just get in that word and we line up, we get our prayer life going, and oh man, he'll line us right back up, right again, right where we're supposed to be. I love that. His mercy. You know, he's always there. Come, let us reason together. Come, let us talk this out, he says. Or even argue. One version says, let us argue this out. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I will make them as wool. I know you've messed up, but come on, let's talk about this. Never feel that you can't come to God. Never feel that you can't come back to God. That's a lie from Satan. Satan will lie to you. First, he'll egg you into sinning, and then after you sin, he'll lie to you and tell you you can't come back to God, and that's just a lie. That's why Jesus told the story of the prodigal son. That's why he told that story. Remember, the prodigal son was in the father's house. This is a story of a believer. Was in the father's house. And then decided he was going to do some stuff. When he came to himself. and came back. And remember, the Father saw him from afar off. Oh, thank you, Jesus. See, I love that about Jesus. He just sees you. You know, as soon as you lift your head to pray, he's right there. Come on. Come on back in the house. I made a banquet for you. That's the way he is. You see, that's our Lord. That's my King. So he loves us and he takes us. Tests and trials will come to test your resolve in Christ. Let me say that again. Tests and trials will come to test your resolve in Christ, the foundation of what you are doing and why. To test if you are building with eternal things as unto the Lord, gold, silver, and precious stones, or temporal things as unto yourself or others. Sometimes we're building for other people, not the Lord. We're building to impress other people. And that's where a lot of us get caught up too, and that's wood, hay, and straw. I'm glad that God allows testing now so that we can see the foundation we are building on. To see what we are building on the foundation, or the foundation sometimes that we're building on. Sometimes we are in denial on this point, but God will expose your true foundation, what you're really building on. Sometimes you're not building on Christ. You're building on yourself. You're building your own empire, and God will expose it. He'll expose it by having trouble come and how you act when trouble comes. That's the exposure. Like, I thought she loved Jesus.
I know.
You know, was she? Was that Karen?
Yeah.
I thought she loved Jesus. I thought she said she trusted in him. And then trouble came. And Karen acted all out. She acted all crazy. So what foundation was she on in the first place? See, you'll see what happened. You see the foundation people are on when stuff happens. How do they behave? If you trust in Jesus Christ and he's got your back and he's your rear guard and that's what I stand on, then, okay, my heart may be racing. My blood pressure may be up a little bit, but I will bring that under subjection of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. I go right into prayer. That's when I go into prayer, folks. That's when I start supplicating. That's why I can't wait till we get to the rock, honey. We got the rock lesson coming. Oh, my God. I go to the rock, man. I go in that cleft of the rock, and I said, Lord, we just going to hang out in the cleft of the rock because I just don't know what to do. So again, we may be in denial about what we're building on, but God will expose it. So if you're going through some stuff, let's see what foundation you're really on. Let's see what you really believe. I know you've been singing it. Praising God, going to your Bible studies and all that stuff. But let's see what you really believe. See, that's the test. Because, you know, we Christians, we Christians can talk a good talk. But Christ gives you that opportunity to line it with the will. And I'm beginning to understand what the apostle meant when he says, I glory in tribulation. Because I'm telling you, when it comes, you have this opportunity to really draw closer to God. I'm telling you, it's this amazing thing how when you get into that cleft of the rock and you just start it, you draw closer to him. And when you emerge, you're stronger than you were before you went in. You're stronger. So that's why he says, I glory in tribulation.
Yes.
The next point. So what do you build on this foundation, which is Christ? So once you establish Christ as a foundation in your life, what are you going to build on this? Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians, third verse, makes it, I'm sorry, verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 3 makes it clear that it is your work that will be tested on the foundation. Your work will be born out of the gifts and callings Christ has placed in you. Pray and examine the gifts that God has given you in the light of his Holy Spirit. See them as pillars in the building you are erecting on Christ's foundation. Okay, so you got to look and look at your gifts. Pray about your gifts in light of the Holy Spirit. Lord, what is my gift? What are you calling me to do? I told y'all the story when I was younger. I wanted to sing like my sisters. I did. I wanted to sing. Terry, I wanted to sing so bad because they can sing. I wanted to sing. I can hold a tune. I do okay. But have you heard my, you got to hear my sister sing, okay? It's like, and I wanted that. I wanted that. And I remember when we were kids, we had this song group called The Sounds of Joy. And, you know, and I was an alto. I should have stayed in my place, you know, as the alto. But no, I want to get out front and lead the song like the sopranos do. You know, the sopranos get to lead the songs usually. So I wanted to lead this song. So I begged them and begged them, and finally they gave in and they let me lead a song. And I made a fool of myself, Terry. I did. In front of the whole church. Voice wasn't trained. Just wasn't, you know, it wasn't my gift, you know? And I just couldn't sing like they could sing, you know? Yes, I can laugh about it today, but to this day, don't you know they bring that song up over and over and over and over again? They will not let me live it down. You know, I said, hey, come here, come here, come here, come here, Karen, come here. I'm like, what? And she'll turn on her phone. We expect you. It was that song by Andre. And she would laugh, yeah. She would laugh and laugh. They will let me sing with them as long as I remain in alto.
Oh, okay.
As long as I remain background, they will let me sing, okay? But don't ask the lead. See, that's the way that works, okay? But I had to understand my gift. I had to understand what my gift was, because sometimes we want somebody else's gift, and that's another reason why we don't complete what we're supposed to complete, because we're wanting to do somebody else's gift when Christ has already placed a special gift in you. He designed it just for you.
Amen.
But you ignore that because you want somebody else. You're looking at somebody else's gift instead of looking unto Christ. See, when you look unto Christ, he will show you what your gifting is. And then as you walk in that gifting, you'll be able to complete the work he's called you to do. And then you're starting to build on that foundation, which is Christ. Do you get it? You know, don't worry about what other people's gifts are. You know, look at what Christ, God, I know you have something for me. You're a good God. You know, he has gifts for everybody. Everybody in here has a gift. So look unto him and he will give you those gifts. And on your handout, I put that picture in there. This is the only picture I could find of this particular layout, how Jesus Christ is the foundation. And they have these pillars, and at the top of these pillars is prayer. And on your handout, I actually typed out what is said on these pillars. And one pillar is evangelism, which is sharing the life of Christ. Sharing, you know, you don't have to be an evangelist to operate in evangelism. Just live a life where people can see Christ. Evangelism. The pillar of worship, singing, praising, and living worship. Living worship. Your life should be worshiping God. Your life, as I said, when those hard times come and people are watching you, when you're going through those hard times, man, I'm telling you, you need to be worshiping. Meaning that you're walking in peace. You know, you're not going off on people because you're under pressure. But I prayed this morning and I don't have to go off on you because I'm in the rock and I'm just really just living this life. I'm worshiping him with my life is worship to him and praise to him no matter what's going on. Discipleship, what you're doing here today, your education, teaching and training in the ways of God, that's a pillar. That's a pillar in the building that you're building on that foundation. These are the pillars of that you're building on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Your education, do not neglect reading the word. Do not neglect learning. Sunday school is important. Bible study is important. You need to learn. There's nothing sadder than a Christian that's ignorant of the Word of God. You know, I'm impressed by the Jehovah's Witnesses sometimes because, man, they know that scripture. It's twisted a little bit. But boy, let's not be ignorant of the Word of God. Let's know what the Word of God says. Discipleship of yourself and others. Ministry, carrying out your assignment from Christ in this life. Carrying out your assignment. Do you understand you have an assignment? And that's what he's going to, okay, where's, I'm looking at your building. Your the building is your assignment. Carrying out your assignment. Again, no excuses on that day why your assignment wasn't taken care of. Your ministry. We are all ministers of reconciliation. You don't have to be a part of the fivefold ministry gifts that they talk. We're all ministers of reconciliation. You could be running the soup kitchen. You could be running a clothing, you know, mission. Whatever you're doing. What has he called you to do? You could be making food and meals for people. That's your assignment. So you got to understand, what is this assignment? And then the final is fellowship. And this is an important pillar too. That you are interacting with and loving the body of Christ. That's other believers. We're interacting together. We're hanging out together. We're talking together. We're encouraging each other. We're loving each other. That is an important pillar in the body of Christ. People love to see that. I'm telling you, that fellowship piece. People love to see the fellowship. That's why people, a lot of people come to church so they can just get a hug. You know, I just come to church so I can just get a hug because I live on my own. I have no, you know, I'm just coming to church because I know y'all will hug me here. I'm serious. Human beings need contact. You know, so I'm telling you, just that fellowship, that loving each other, that's an important part. So, you know, I thought this was such a good depiction of Jesus Christ as the foundation of the building, and then the pillars of the building, and then at the very top, prayer, prayer, prayer. On all these pillars, you're praying over all of this. You're praying. And the scripture says in 2 Timothy 1:6, it says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Boy, isn't that interesting how he ties in this spirit of fear with the gifts? Because that's what keeps us more than anything else. Timidity, fear. Well, what if I fail? What if this happens? What if that happens? The enemy just can bring you countless things of that can go wrong when God said, Jesus said, do it. Jesus said, this is your assignment. And you come, oh, well, what if God has not given you the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, his power and love. I'm telling you, when you get your gift and you add it to God's love and God's power, it is amazing. Maybe you don't have all the fancy stuff, but boy, people love to love. When they know you come in love, it is amazing. You don't have to have all the fancy stuff as long as you're loving. Power, love, and a sound mind or self-discipline. Self-discipline. In your gift, you have to be disciplined in your gift. And even as your gift takes off and it starts to bless people and people start to give you some accolades, folks, stay with this. Power, love, self-discipline. Keep yourself disciplined in your gift. And whatever you do, stay humble. Stay humble. Again, our scripture says you did run well, but who hindered you? You were running well. You were doing good. Who hindered you? Who kept you? Well, I got prideful. The truth is, well, I was singing so well, you know, and I had my CDs out and, you know, and iTunes. I was getting all these downloads from iTunes and I got prideful. And so when we put the plumb line next to my life, it was like this. See? So you have to, again, we want to complete, folks. We want to make it to the end. We don't want to be hanging out there and we did not finish what we were supposed to do. So next point, there are sins of commission and there are sins of omission that God will judge. And I want you to hear this. God will judge you for sins of omission. Things you omitted, you did not do. He told you to do it, told you to do it, told you to do it, and you would not do it. That's a sin of omission. You were told to do it and you refused. You told God no. You may not have said it verbally, but your behavior. We don't think about the sins of omission. I didn't do anything. That's the problem. You didn't do anything. The sins of omission are the sins of people who will not build anything on the foundation of Christ. This may, and it should be B in there, this may be because of fears, distractions, or even laziness. Yes. Don't feel like doing it.
Yes.
Just don't feel like doing it. Just want to sit on the sofa and stream some movies. Remember the parable of the talents that Jesus taught about in Matthew 25. Out of the three people given talents by their Lord, only two reproduced their talent. The third person, the one with the least talent, buried his because of fear and was judged by his Lord as wicked and lazy. Wow. I mean, really, the poor guy just had one talent. What's the big deal? Why call him wicked and lazy? But that's what the Lord called him. I think it's interesting that it was the one with the one talent, the one that had the least in this parable. Perhaps it was to highlight that those who have the least by this world's standards are the ones most susceptible to hide their talent. Uh-oh, I'm messing with people now. These are the ones that will need the greatest faith to complete their assignment, the ones that have the least. All these excuses. Well, I just have. I'm poor. I was born in the ghetto. In the ghetto. There's no excuse. I don't have, I'm not as pretty as she is. She can do it because she's pretty and everybody likes her. She can do it because she's got an education and she can do it. I'm telling you, the one with the least talent, the one is the one that buried. And I just think it's interesting that Jesus told this story this way. Why? Why would you tell it? Why couldn't it be the one with the five talents? Why is it the one with the, at least the middle of the road, Jesus, But no, the one that had the one. Because I think the people that have the least amount are the ones that are more susceptible to bearing their talent and not showing it because of fear,
yes.
Because of shame. And on that great day, you don't want him to say you were wicked and you were lazy.
Yes.
Because there won't be any excuse.
Yes,
I mean, you got to, boy, the word of God is something. For everything, the way, every story that Jesus told, every teaching that Jesus did, there's a reason. There's a reason. And this is so true of our world. Because by the world's standards, we don't have much. So we bury it and we don't complete the work. We live in a competitive world, the spirit of fear we battle with all the time. But I remind you how our Lord came into the world in a stable.
Amen.
Humble, he came into the world, the Son of God. And he changed the world.
Yes.
Why? Because that was Jesus. He had the power of God. So do you. After he died and rose, you do too.
Yes. Yes.
Born in a stable to a people that were under oppression. He wasn't a Roman. The Romans had the Jews under oppression. And he changed the world. So, again, I'm sorry, folks, but you're without excuse. Matthew 25:29 says, "For to everyone who has and values his blessing and gifts from God and has used them wisely, more will be given.
Yes.
And he will be richly supplied so that he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, because he has ignored or disregarded his blessing and gifts from God, even what he does have will be taken away." Wow. I'm telling you, if you don't have much, I'm telling you, you start getting out there. Do what God tells you to do. Sacrifice, give. The scripture says, "Give and it shall be given unto you." But I don't have giving in my budget. You better start giving, because Jesus is not changing the word. The word is not changing. I don't have the time and I don't have this. I'm telling you, folks, get into prayer. Ask God to show you. Because this is true. If you don't use it, it will be taken away and given to somebody else. You don't want that to happen to your gift. I've heard people say, "I was supposed to do that. You know, God told me years ago to go ahead and start that mission over there. And I didn't. And now look at it. Wow, look who someone started it." I told you a story about Catherine Kuhlman, how they were criticizing her because she was a woman and had this huge ministry with all these thousands and thousands of people. And somebody criticized her and said, "Well, how can you do this as a woman? Why would God call you?" And she said, "Well, God, why wouldn't God call a man?" And she said, "Well, God did call a man first, but he said no. So then he called me, and I said yes." You don't want God to call somebody else, because God will carry out his agenda on the earth, and God will carry out his schedule on the earth. So as you sit there, you don't want a reassignment coming. And I tell you guys, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by how much money you have, it's not by how many degrees you have, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. So the question for you is, does your foundation sit empty? That's a personal question. I can't answer that for you. I have to answer it for me. Does your foundation sit empty? And you don't want that. Now, after all that is said, I say, take heart, beloved. Take heart, beloved of God, wherever you may be in the building process. We can be certain Christ will finish what he is doing in or for us. And we can take comfort in knowing we don't need to be able to figure out how he eventually will get the job done. He may even wish to surprise us. This is from the book. I love that. He may wish to surprise you. When it comes to building on Christ's foundation, he does not ask so much of our ability as he does our availability. Will you allow him to work and build through you? That's the question. So what is your foundation looking like? What is your foundation? I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you, this is a call to prayer. This is a call for you to get on your face before the Lord and find out, "Lord, what am I doing? What am I called to do?"
Yes.
I've been told I have no excuse. So, Lord, what am I called to do? What am I supposed to be doing? How do I serve? How do I serve in the community? How do I serve in the church? How do I serve? What am I supposed to be doing? He'll tell you. He'll tell you, and then he'll provide for you to do it.
Thank you.
So, any comments?
Thank you.
Where's my preachers, man? Okay, there we go. See, here's Sam, Brother Sam, you know. Missed you last week.
Okay. One of the things I was thinking about, all the gifts that he's given us, of course, and we use it for the glory of God. We have to remember that all what Jesus did on the cross, he gave us everything we knew that we can do what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's by faith, that's by trust. But stay humble. Stay humble. Also, all the things that you're doing that glorify God, you do not brag about it.
Yes, yes.
Be puffed up with pride.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Stay humble, like I said. So now you're storing your treasures in the kingdom. And that's how you're storing your treasures, doing all the deeds through Jesus Christ. One of the things that I do know that I've been learning now, all authority that was given to him, he has given you authority, but you're still under his authority. Mm-hmm. So under Jesus' authority and under his righteousness, we can carry it out. And we carry it out by faith, we carry it out by belief. But now also, that his love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, we live by his love, so therefore we can love everyone else.
Amen.
Not by our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own emotions, lust, or anything, but through his love.
Yes.
So great is his love that's in us, and you know, great is he that's in us, that's him in the world.
Yes.
You know, and like she said, by the power of his love that lives in us,
yes,
we can carry it out. Now, since I'm in love with Jesus, I'm going to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm under his authority, and I want to be just like him. See, that's all I think about now.
Yeah.
So when you say the right things from your heart that glorify God, he helps you carry it out.
Uh-huh.
And you know he will. So we carry it out by faith.
Yes. Amen. And you know, and you're absolutely right. As you start walking in this and doing this gift of God, something changes in you. You start to transform into something different. I mean, you love God more. You love Christ. It's not even a matter of, you know, doing it as unto yourself or unto him. It just automatically, no, I'm doing it unto him.
Natural.
You know, they don't have to say anything about me. You know, they don't have to even know what I did.
Yes, sir.
But Jesus knows, and he's happy with me, and I just love showing off for him. I love showing off for him, you know?
Listening to this teaching series as far as this week on the root of rejection, and she's just an amazing teacher.
Yes.
But she was talking about how she had this vision from the Lord, this dream that she was going to have a worldwide ministry to women.
Mm.
And she said she was kind of immature, you know, and she started telling everybody. you know, God told me this. And so the word was kind of getting around. And she said this lady, I think it was in a church, came up and said, did you really say that God told you you were going to have a worldwide ministry to women? Because she said, I'm going to tell you something. She said, with your personality, God's never going to be able to use you. And she said, you know, along the way, she's heard that once or twice again, but she said that God, he often has his choicest servants with glaring flaws.
Yes, yes.
Said, you know, she said, because of her history and her testimony and the way that she is, her personality, she said, you know, God's had to do a lot of work, and it surprises a lot of people that God would use me. And she said, I think that this is the way God keeps me humble.
Amen.
And that everybody realizes that God chooses the weak and foolish things of the world.
Yes, he does. Yes,
you know,
he does.
And that they see God transforming me through the process of time, and that she's grown spiritually. And I love it when she says, you know, thank God I'm not where I used to be. You know, but I'm on my way.
Yes.
And so it's that process of transformation in our life.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how we as Christians, sometimes we want to be perfect. In our flesh, we try to do something that only the Holy Spirit can do.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
I'm telling you. And she's such a great... great example of that. So I remember she was telling her testimony about doing Bible study and smoking a cigarette while she's doing Bible study.
And Daisy Duke shorts.
Yeah, and Daisy Duke shorts. And how God is just really, how he can transform, you know, but just having the, just getting out there and, hey, I'm going to do it. Here I am, Jesus. You know, I'm all yours. You know? And so yes, I'm telling you, I love testimonies like that. Anybody else?
You know, Sister Karen, I was, now that you were talking about smoking, well, both my husband and I used to smoke. When Jesse, my daughter, was 12 years old, he gave it up. Well, I kept on. I was coming to church already and trying to serve the Lord. Well, one day I was going to the bedroom with my ashtray and my Bible.
That's all right. It was a start.
He put a stop to me right there, right there. The conviction was so heavy that right there he just said, it don't work out. It don't work that way. So I had to, and immediately, I left him go, and from that day on, I never picked it up again. And I praise God for that, because it was a spirit of conviction.
Yes.
The spirit of conviction. And it happens.
Yes.
You don't know how you're going to get set free or the chain broken, but it's going to happen.
Yes.
And it's his time.
Yes.
I just love him.
Yes. See, that's the amazing work of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. I can't even explain it. Okay, Karen.
Actually, I just want to add to that, because with Joyce, talking about Joyce about smoking, I remember her saying that with her husband, he just like that, he just gave it up like that, but she had to work through it. She couldn't just let them go. It was a process, and I think that's great, because not everyone gets delivered immediately.
Right.
Sometimes it's a process, and you have to persevere and work through it, and, you know, trust God. So she was frustrated, so it shows that, you know, we still have our, like, our emotions. Like,
yes.
Being real and humble and saying, I was so mad, like, well, how come he could quit like that? And I had to work through it.
You know, I love that about the Lord, too. He gives us what we need.
Yeah.
Okay? He treats us as individuals, okay? So he says, you know, you need a process. See, some people, they can do the instantaneous thing, and they're fine. And some of us, hard-headed ones, choleric, strong-willed, we need a process. Okay? We do. You know, Mary, you know you and I need a process. You know? So we thank the Lord for the process. So let's pray. We're out of time. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we just thank you, oh God, that you remain the headstone of the corner, Lord God. Father, we rejoice in that you don't move, that your word is your word is your word, and it remains your word throughout time, Lord God, throughout space. Your word remains the same, Lord God. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that for the standard that is ours, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And Lord, we pray that we would take this word in, that we would digest it, and it would become a part of who we are, Lord, in you, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray that we don't wince away from the word of God, even as it cuts deep, Lord God. Father, I pray that we line up with it, Lord God, that we're willing, oh God, to lay ourselves upon the altar before your Holy Spirit so that you can do a good work in us, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would trust you with our lives, Lord God. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and we expect you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Just run and get.